Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, Chapter 31, the final chapter of this Sefer. In yesterday's Perek, we learned of the devastation of Tziklag by Amalek, and David's successful counterattack and rescue of all the captives who were miraculously unharmed, along with the spoils of war, which David divided equally among all his men, those who had fought actively, as well as those who had remained behind, establishing this as the rule for all future battles. In today's Perek, the scene shifts back to Shaul, whom we had last seen as he left the sorceress of Endor after Shmuel's prophecy of Israel's defeat at the hands of the Plishtim and the deaths of Shaul and his sons, which, if he accepted Hashem's decree, would atone for his sins and allow him and his sons the privilege of becoming Shmuel's neighbors in the world to come. Shaul and his escorts returned to Yisrael, towards which the Plishtim were already on the march. Picking up where we left off, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Uplishtim nilchamim biYisrael. Vayanusu anshei Yisrael mipnei Plishtim, vayiplu chalalim behar haGilboa. The Plishtim were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from the Plishtim, and many soldiers fell on Mount Gilboa. We note again that the Plishtim had a strong advantage in this battle and pressed forward through the valley of Israel all the way to Har Gilboa near the Yarden, the Jordan River. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Vayidbiku Plishtim et Shaul ve'et Banav, Vayaku Plishtim et Yehonatan, ve'et Avinadav ve'et Malkishua b'nei Shaul. And the Plishtim closed in on Shaul and his sons, and they struck down Yehonatan, Avinadav, and Malkishua, the sons of Shaul. Mishbetzot Zahav comments on the redundancy in the text. Why is it necessary to repeat at the end of the verse that these are the sons of Shaul? He cites Kehilat Yaakov, who explains that Shaul's sons were all tzadikim gemurim, completely righteous, and died only because they were the sons of Shaul. In an exceptionally moving letter to his son following the Churban of the Holocaust, Rav Dessler spoke of the destruction of the yeshiva in Kelm, in which he had studied. He explains that there are those who are chosen to die al Kiddush Hashem, which is the highest form of avodah, of our divine service, because that is how they live their lives. Their complete dedication to Hashem is reflected in this end to their physical life on earth, but they live on among us as a constant source of inspiration. Such were those B'nai HaYeshiva of Kelm, the teachers and students of the Yeshiva of Kelm, such were the sons of Shaul, and such are the Korbanot of today, the innocent souls who sanctify Hashem's name as victims of terror and in battle on behalf of our land and our people. Living with this difficult reality, says Rav Dessler, is the avoda of Chevlei Mashiach. This is the service that is required of us as we live in the time of the birth pangs of Mashiach, which we are feeling so profoundly. The Plishtim, noting that the Israelite army was fleeing, and Shaul would certainly be vulnerable after witnessing the deaths of his sons, focused solely on pursuing Shaul at this point. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Vatichbad ha-milchama el Shaul, vayimtza'uhu ha-morim anashim bakashet, vayachel me'od mi-ha-morim. The battle against Shaul intensified, and the archers, armed with their bows, found him, and he was very terrified of the archers. Abarbanel comments here that Shaul was not afraid of death. He had already accepted that his death in this battle was inevitable. Rather, he was afraid of what they might do to him while he remained alive. Vayomer Shaul l'nosei kelav. Shaul said to his arms bearer, Shlof charbecha v'dokreni va. Pen yavo ha'arelim ha'ile udkaruni v'hit aleluvi. V'lo ava nosei kelav ki yarei me'od. Vayikach Shaul et ha'cherev vayipol aleha. Draw your sword and pierce me with it, lest these uncircumcised ones come and stab me and torture me. But his arms bearer was not willing, for he was very frightened. So Shaul took his sword and fell upon it. The arms bearer, seeing that Shaul had died, also took his sword and fell upon it and died alongside him. Our sages discuss Shaul's behavior in this instance. According to the Shulchan Aruch, in Yoradeya 345, Seif 3, it is permissible for someone to take his own life if he is being persecuted. Shaul knew for certain that he was going to die, since his death had been prophetically foretold. He also had a very reasonable fear that the Plishtim would torture him before killing him, as they had done to Shimshon, and to repay him for the damage that he had inflicted upon them. Furthermore, Shaul feared that if the Plishtim were to kill him, they would attribute their victory to their God, and that would create a Chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name. Additionally, a person may take his own life if it will save the lives of other Jews, and Shaul may have reasoned that once he was no longer alive, the Plishtim would end the battle, and this would save Jewish lives, because at this point, he is their target. There is no dispensation, however, for taking the life of someone else, and the arms bearer, who was a Yirei Shamayim, which is how the commentators interpret the fact that the statement in the Pasuk, Ki Yarei Me'od, that he was very frightened. He was frightened of Hashem. He feared Hashem. He was a God-fearing man. And he knew that murder is absolutely forbidden. Therefore, he refused to end Shaul's life. And upon seeing that Shaul had died, he feared that he too would be captured and tortured for his role in Shaul's victories, and therefore took his own life for the same reason as had Shaul. I will say here, a little bit of a spoiler alert, stay tuned for Shmuel Bet, because this episode is reported slightly differently in the next chapter. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayamot Shaul u'shloshet banav, v'nosei keilav, gam kol anashav, bayom hahu, yachdav. And Shaul, his three sons and his arms bearer, as well as all the men of his entourage, died together on that day. Mishbitzot Zahav suggests that the information is repeated here to emphasize that the prophecy of Shmuel had been fulfilled. Da'at Sofrim comments that there is no new information contained in this verse. It is written to serve as a kina. It's an elegy over the great losses that were experienced on that day. To compound the terrible loss of life, Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Vayiru anshei Yisrael asher be'iver ha'emek va'asher be'iver ha'yarden, ki nasu anshei Yisrael v'chimetu Sha'ul uvanav, vayazvu et ha'arim, vayanusu vayavo plishtim vayishvu bahen. When the people of Israel on the other side of the valley and the other side of the Jordan River saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Shaul and his sons had died, they abandoned their cities and fled, and the Plishtim came and settled in them. Malbim explains that this verse speaks to the complete despair, the loss of hope among the people who were now bereft of their heroes and their king. The next day, when the Plishtim came out to the battlefield to plunder the bodies, they found Shaul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They severed his head and stripped him of his gear and sent messengers throughout the land of the Plishtim to spread the news to the temples of the idols and to the people. They placed Shaul's armor in the temple of Ashtarot and impaled his body on the wall of Beit Shan. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vayishme'u Elav, Yoshve Yavesh Gilad, et asher asu plishtim l'Shaul. The people of Yavesh Gilad, which we may recall lay just east of the Jordan River, on the other side of the river, heard what the plishtim had done to Shaul. Vayakumu kol ish chayil, vayelchu kol halayla, vayikchu et gviyat Shaul ve'et gviyot banav mechomat Beit Shan, vayavo Yavesha, vayisrefu otam sham. They arose, every bold man, and walked through the entire night. They took the body of Shaul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Beit Shan and brought them back to Yavesh, where they burned them. There are essentially two approaches here that explain the burning. Cremation is expressly forbidden by Jewish law. So what could the people of Yavesh Gilad have done that's referenced by this term, by this phrase, Vayisrefu Otam? The first approach is that they burned not the bodies, but the clothing and possessions of Shaul, in keeping with the prohibition of deriving benefit from that which had belonged to a king. The second approach is that the bodies of Shaul and his sons had suffered injury or had begun to decay, and the people of Yavesh Gilad performed a process similar to embalming in order to preserve the dignity of the bodies that they were about to bury. And the chemicals that were used in this process are similar to burning. Pasuk Yud Gimel 13. Vayikchu et atzmotehim, vayikberu tachat ha'eshel biyavesha, vayatsumu shivat yamim. They took the bones and buried them under the eshel in Yavesh and fasted for 7 days. Radak notes that the 7 days of fasting over the end of Shaul's life correspond to 7 days at the beginning of his kingship, when the people of Yavesh Gilad, the very same people, were threatened by Nachash, king of Ammon, and requested 7 days to see whether their Israelite brethren would come to their aid. We noted then, in the beginning of chapter 11, that no one in Yavesh Gilad expressed any faith in their new king, Shaul. Now, as his kingship draws to a close, they honored him by fasting for 7 days, as one would over the loss of a close relative, reflecting that in the final event, Shaul was remembered as a hero of Israel, one who had consolidated the nation to come to the aid of a community in distress and had brought about great salvation. With this, we conclude our study of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Thank you so much for having joined me on this journey, learning together Le'ilui Nishmot Imotenu Hayekarot, Esther Oppenheimer Alea HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Alea HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.